Welcome to St. James Westminster. Welcome to fall. And welcome to your regularly scheduled programming. We are back to our 8:30 and 10:30 services. Our choir has returned. Stephen is back. Thanks be to God. For those of you who I have not had a moment to meet yet, my name is the Reverend Ann Weber. I am your new associate priest with special responsibility for children and families, and I am delighted to be here. I have two announcements, as far as I know, but I'm looking around for anyone who is more informed than I am. You have an announcement. Okay. So there's the blessing of the backpacks next week at the service, where we will give thanks for all the donations and bless backpacks. Feel free to bring backpacks and briefcases if you have them. And then there's the ministry fair with chili after the service. I'll hand it over to Barb.
You can be seated.
Oh, sorry.
I just wanted to welcome back those of us who went to the Pinery last weekend. Friday night was a bit sketchy with the big storm, but we survived. Yay! So I just want to thank Julie Ryan for organizing it. It was great. We had a small but mighty crowd. Thank you to John for all his cooking. It was wonderful. And thanks to Pam and her family for the wonderful Sunday service that we had. And for everybody who attended. You'll see some photos up on the bulletin board in a few weeks, I'm sure. Thank you.
So that's reminded me of another thing. I'm still getting my feet underneath me. So if I forget to tell you to sit down, and you know you should sit down, please go right ahead and sit down. Choir, if you're within arm's reach and I'm doing something funny, you know, a solid poke never goes amiss. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, let us pray. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that richly bearing the fruit of good works, we may by you be richly rewarded. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the proclamation of the word.
A reading from the letter of James. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," well, to the other one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet." Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Those who trust in the Lord stand fast forever. Those who trust in the Lord stand fast forever. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but stands fast forever. The hills stand about Jerusalem, so does the Lord stand round about his people from this time forth forevermore. Trust in the Lord, stand fast forever. The scepter of the wicked shall not hold sway over the land allotted to the just, so that the just shall not put their hands to evil. Those who trust in the Lord stand fast. Goodness, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are true of heart. As for those who turn aside to crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the evildoers. But peace be upon Israel. Those who trust in the Lord stand fast forever.
You. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know where he was. Yet he could not escape notice, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, He sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you.
Please be seated. Aslan is not a tame lion. That line has been running through my head all week. It doesn't actually appear in any of the Chronicle of Narnia books, but various characters throughout the series wonder about that lion, Aslan. They wonder whether it is wise to stand before a lion who could eat them up in one gulp. They wonder if they should trust him. Thankfully, the main characters in this series are children, because children are free to ask questions that adults are too afraid or too embarrassed to ask. And so they do. They ask over and over, "Is Aslan safe?" And the answer always comes back, "Aslan is not a tame lion." Now, throughout the series, these same children find themselves in dangerous situations when they visit the land of Narnia. And we all learn as the series goes on that Aslan comes and goes. There are sometimes long stretches where he doesn't appear to be in Narnia. Aslan can handle any and every situation. He negotiates with a witch to end the eternal winter. He wins epic battles. He saves young Edmund by dying for him and rising from the dead. But Aslan isn't there all the time. And sometimes hard and confusing things happen when the children can't talk to him. This morning's gospel makes me wish that Jesus were a little more tame, if that was possible. His interaction with the Syrophoenician woman sets many people's teeth on edge. Jesus isn't supposed to act this way. Jesus isn't supposed to act in a way that seems racist or misogynistic. Jesus isn't supposed to be callous in the face of suffering. He is supposed to bring comfort and peace and healing. And so I have to tell you that I, frankly, would like an explanation. I think it would help to understand more of what is happening in this passage, especially if we could know how the woman felt. There is no question that calling someone a dog today is not okay. And it is so clearly inappropriate that I wonder if we have trouble separating out our reactions from the story itself. It feels impossible that the woman would not have been deeply offended, because we know we would be. But here's the thing. We don't know how the woman felt, and I'm not sure that we will know not until we enter fully into God's presence. And so I wonder if maybe that is the real problem here. Most of us try to live good lives. We hope to be just and honest. We strive to let God's love form us. So I wonder if sometimes we forget that dedicating our lives to serving God doesn't necessarily mean that we understand God all the time. I wonder if we can forget that God is much bigger and much wiser than we are, and that God is not limited to loving people the way that we think is right. God is going to give people what they need, even if we don't understand it. So it can be hard when we come face to face with a story that challenges what we think we know about God and have to remember that God is not tame. In those moments, I wonder if God is calling us to sit with our discomfort, sit with our frustration at not being able to know for sure, to admit that we are challenged by a passage and just to let it be, and then to remember and make space for the fact that parts of Scripture that challenge us are not the whole story. Because as confusing and troubling as Jesus' conversation with the woman may be, that is not where the story ends. Jesus does heal the woman's daughter. And then he heals a second person who may also be a Gentile. And Jesus heals this man in a spectacularly intimate and physical way, touching his ears, spitting on his hands, and touching his mouth. Jesus' whole ministry, his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, is about widening the circle so that all people can enter into deep, authentic, intimate relationship with God Almighty. The long story of salvation tells us that God entered into relationship with two people, Abraham and Sarah, and through them to the whole Jewish people. And God doesn't stop there. God keeps widening the circle, opening the doors to more and more people. And it just doesn't seem to matter how often we humans tell God that what God is doing doesn't meet our expectations, that God isn't doing things properly. God just keeps on going, loving more, teaching more, healing more, waiting as long as it takes for us to trust that we are safe in God's arms, waiting for us to remember that we are not in control. Because God is not looking for our approval. God is smarter and wiser than we will ever be. God made this world out of love, and God made us for love. And we wait as patiently as we can for that time when we will understand in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, which is marked by justice and rest, peace and wholeness. This work that Jesus started for bringing the kingdom of God to fruition, that has not finished yet, we're in the middle, but it has begun. And we wait, and we work, and we pray. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the first book that most people read from the Chronicles of Narnia, Susan and Lucy, two of the first children to go, ask Mr. and Mrs. Beaver if Aslan is safe. "Safe?" said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, And thanks be to God for that. Now let us stand and confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God.
Please assume the posture for prayer. When I say we call upon your name, O Lord, please respond with, incline your ear to our prayer. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your call. Release our tongues to proclaim your praise and give to your church clear speech in announcing your gospel. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Open the ears of the nations, O Lord, to the cry for justice. Release all oppressed and enslaved. Give courage to all who announce your kingdom. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Open our ears, O Lord, to the necessity for equality. Release all demeaned by prejudice and discrimination. Give perseverance to all who strive to remove bias and intolerance. We call upon your name, O Lord. Open your ears, O Lord, to songs of suffering and distress. Release all held in chains by debilitating diseases and pain. Today we pray especially for Anna, Ashley, Carol, Joan and family, Eunice, Gavin, Don and Nancy, Sylvia, Catherine, Robert, Brian, Don. Give hope to all who trust in you. We call upon your name, O Lord. Open your ears, O Lord, to songs of lament and grief. Release from the clutches of death all who have died. Give grace to all who mourn to let go into the life you bring. We pray for Carol Jones today and for Todd, our bishop, Michael and Anna, our priests, and for Linda, our archbishop. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer.
God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
great and holy God, accept our offering of labor and love. May we bring you true and spiritual worship and be one with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. In our unending joy, we echo on earth the song of the angels in heaven, as we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil, and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. The gifts of God for the people of God. Please stand as we continue in prayer. Father, your word and sacrament give us food and life. May we who have shared in holy things bear fruit to your honor and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and those you love and those you struggle with, now and always. My friends, this service has finished. Our service has just begun. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.